Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Acts 2 says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." My friend, I want to talk to you today about how there is a sound with the supernatural. Now, we know in this sophisticated generation that there are many who would like for religion to be sedate, to be sophisticated, to be silent, rather, for folks to simply meditate and whatever melody they have in their heart, well, just keep it there. Don't let it get to the mouth. And if it gets to the mouth, well, let's keep it a whisper. Let's keep it down. Let's keep it calm. And yet, what we see here at the very birth of the church, at the very beginning here of the book of Acts and the New Testament church, is that there was a great sound. And it wasn't a whisper. It was with high volume. I say, my friend, that the church of the living God in this generation needs to turn up the volume of our faith. We need to increase the temperature of our fervency for the things of God. It's not just to shout for the sake of shouting or to make noise. The Bible talks about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So it's what kind of noise we make. A noise that brings honor to the kingdom of God. A sound that amplifies the anointing of the Lord in our midst. A sound that brings the blessing of God. A sound that causes fear in the enemy. A sound that is not a whisper because of timid faith, but that which is full of a passion because of the bravery and the courage that a man or a woman of God receives when they're endued with power from on high. You become a witness to the kingdom of God. You become a witness of His resurrection because you have the power of resurrection on the inside of you, and therefore it's supernatural. And the supernatural has a sound to it. It's a sound of victory. It's a sound of triumph. And in this generation full of trials and terrorism and tribulation to come, we need the sounds of triumph. We need men and women who have been in the hot prayer rooms, fervently touched by the hand of God, and a spirit of desire that rises up not only out of faith, but out of a moral conviction, out of boundaries and spiritual disciplines, those things that are akin to the holiness of God, so that when we come together, again, our noise is not like the crowd at a football game. It's not the sensational sounds of a rock concert, but it's the spiritual impartation of those who have been touched by the presence of God. It's a release of the anointing. It's a release of the power of God to bring healing. It's a release of even His presence to do what He wants to do when He comes into our midst. When we go back to the infamous text in John chapter 3, where the rabbi Nicodemus, cloaked in his robe, his head covered and hooded, hidden from his Sanhedrin brethren as he comes to Jesus by night and begins to have a born-again conversation with the Messiah of the world, as Jesus would tell him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then he would go on to tell him that except a man was born of the water and of the Spirit, he could not enter into the kingdom of God. And then he told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh." And then he began to talk to him about the wind and how you can hear the sound of it. The Greek word there is phonai. It's something that has volume to it. It's something that is not just a casual tone. It's not just a conversational tone, if you will. It's got excitement to it. It's got desire in it. It flows with passion. Now, you know, when you get around somebody, you can tell if they've got passion or not, or if they're just going through life robotically, if they're like some religious automaton, if they have no real inspiration in their spirit. They may be intellectually superior, but they may be inspirationally inferior because they have no power with their knowledge. They deny the power thereof. But my friend, when you get touched with the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost, something's going to rise up. That which has been dormant, that which has been muted by the mistakes of your past, that which has been kept silent because of the sinfulness of how you used to live. When you've become a new creation in Christ, when you've laid aside the weights of the world that did so easily beset you, when you stop stumbling and staggering, stressing and being defeated by all of the dominating and domineering sins of your past, when Satan is no longer holding the chains, pushing you around with the reins of rebellion, when you've been set free by the blood of Jesus and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, you can't help but shout. You can't help but lift up your voice and make a joyful noise. So to be born again, and to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, to have that spiritual encounter with God that Jesus spoke of in John 7 when he said those that believe on him would receive that spiritual experience of the rivers of the Holy Ghost flowing out of a man's belly. When that begins to happen, it's not a silent work. It's not the nodding of a head or the folding of the arms or a simple assent even in the mind, or something that comes by mere osmosis. There's an encounter. There's an everlasting wind that begins to blow. In fact, when you begin to think about some of the metaphors that the Scripture uses to describe the Spirit, to describe these divine encounters, these spiritual experiences, it's rivers of living water. It's fire. It's a mighty rushing wind. These things are not quiet. A rushing mighty wind. So it's not just a gentle breeze. It's a rushing mighty wind. If you've ever heard a hurricane wind blow or something of gale force, strength, or a tornado in the distance, the roar of it, the mighty strength of it, that's what we're talking about here. It's something that's got power behind it, something that's going to cause the gates of hell to tremble, something that's going to cause the strongholds of darkness to tremble and shake because the people of God have come together. It's just like in Acts chapter 4 when the disciples had been rebuked and threatened and told under no uncertain terms not to preach in the name of Jesus. They walked right back out to the street corner. They counted it worthy to suffer persecution because of the name. And when they began to give thanksgiving to the Lord for that, the Bible said when they prayed, the place was shaken. Now, it wasn't going to be shaken because they had silent prayer or because they were in some kind of 30-minute meditative state or transcendental, transfixed, motionless, mantra-uttering phase. It's because they prayed loud. They prayed with fervency. They lifted their voice. They wanted to be heard, not just to show off or boast their religion. They wanted hell to hear what they were praying. There was a fervency in their voices when they began to turn up the volume of that passion, and that Pentecostal fire began to crackle and burn. That's how the place was shaken. In fact, you can trace this idea of sound with the supernatural throughout the Old Testament. In Exodus 28 and 35, "And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not." You see, under the ephod, the high priest was to wear a blue sleeveless robe that hung below his knees and was reinforced at the collar. It was to be seamless with pomegranates, either hanging like bells on the hem or embroidered on the robe. And these gold bells on the hem, these pomegranates, these tinkling bells would allow the people to hear the high priest when he ministered in the holy place. The sound of the bells assured the people of God's mercy in allowing a priest to minister on their behalf. So he went into the presence of the Lord with noise. There was a sound. There was the ringing of the bells. And those ringing of the bells, now if you think about it, if the priest went in there, And he went in there with blemishes, or he went in there with disobedience, or he went in there and treated something profane that was sacred, he wouldn't come out. He'd be struck dead like Nadab and Abihu were. So the sound of the bells told everybody, I'm alive. There was noise. There was a sound. Oh, my friend, we're the royal priesthood of the New Testament, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, walking with God every day. And we get to minister in that place, given access by the blood of Jesus. Hey, there's a sound that comes with it as well that tells the whole world, we're alive. The church is still alive. We're still walking in the presence of God, and the mercy of the Lord is still everlasting. In Leviticus 25 and 8 through 10, the Bible said, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. So even now the year of Jubilee comes with a sound. It's not a silent occasion. It's not a muted testimony. It's something that is triumphant. It's freeing. It's liberating. It's a proclamation of liberty throughout all the land. You don't think some of these who had been in slavery for decades, you don't think they rejoiced? You don't think they were festive when they heard the sound of the Jubilee? Well, you see, when Jesus came, he said he was anointed to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was the Jubilee. He was bringing freedom and forgiveness to every man that lived steeped in failure. He was bringing deliverance to every man that was being pushed around and bullied by demons. He was bringing healing to those that had been to every doctor and had worked through every superstition and had gone maybe to even every idol of their generation and couldn't be helped, but he healed them, and he gave them liberty. He set them free. He set demon-possessed men free. He set those who had been afflicted and those who sat in the regions of darkness. He gave them jubilee. There was a sound of hope, and you and I are a part of that same thing when we begin to testify, when we begin to boldly declare that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That a man doesn't have to be bound by the chains of addiction. That a man doesn't have to live forever in a prison of shame. That a man doesn't have to walk around with his head hung down in guilt and condemnation, bearing the accusations of sin and iniquity, transgression and rebellion, all of the mistakes, the sin that he was born with, and every sin that he committed. Doesn't have to live that way anymore, because there's a sound of jubilee. There is a rejoicing. In other words, when you're in a powerful service and when the presence of the Lord begins to move and when apostolic preaching is penetrating through every wall and barrier of bitterness, every place of hard-hearted sin, that's an atmosphere where a mighty rushing wind of the Holy Ghost can come in, where the power of the Spirit can snap the shackles of the past, where a man can walk out pardoned by the price of blood Jesus shed on the cross, and by that spiritual revelation and manifestation of His Spirit that comes when the Holy Ghost is poured out. And it comes with a sound. It comes with a trumpet's blast. It comes with jubilee noise, my friend. Talk about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You're going to get back what was taken from you. You're going to have true joy, and not just joy that the world can dictate or define, but it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's indescribable. It's immeasurable. You can't even put a price tag on it, and that's why it took the blood of the Lamb to get us that kind of liberty. And of course, when you go to Joshua chapter 6 and the great story of the children of Israel marching around the wall of Jericho 6 times or one time a day for 6 days, and then on the 7th day, they marched around it 7 times. And the scripture says that Joshua had been given these instructions, that it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. See, this battle plan that Joshua had was most unusual. Ordinary weapons of war, such as battering rams and scaling ladders, they were not employed. Joshua rather put his armed men to march around that city, and they did it. But on that seventh day, when the sound of the trumpet was heard, the people shouted, and the wall of the city fell down flat. The supernatural, my friend, it comes with a sound. There's a sound of praying. There's a sound of preaching. There's a sound of power and fervency when the people of God come together, when the people of God lift their voices with focus, not on what they can accomplish, because it's not by human ingenuity. We are too frail. We are too full of failures. We are too full of folly. But when you mix in the faith of the Word of God, our human deeds and our human ideas become something more. They're empowered by the inspiration and instruction of the Spirit and the Word of God. And so that when we shout, something happens. The wall of that city fell down flat. Not before they shouted, but after. Not before the sound of the trumpet, but after. Oh, my friend, don't be afraid to pray out loud. Don't be afraid to cry out to the Lord. Don't be afraid to lift up your voice. Because it's going to cause the darkness to recede. It's going to cause devils to tremble. It's going to cause those things that have surrounded you and those enemies and adversaries that have encroached upon you. It's going to cause them to go another direction. Because when you begin to cry out to the Lord, you begin to shout unto the Lord. When there's a sound of a trumpet, which is a type of preaching, when there's preaching that's going forth in the name of Jesus, there's something that begins to happen in the atmosphere. There's a trembling in the realms of darkness. Beneath the surface and in the invisible realms, there are foundations of darkness that begin to shake. And suddenly there's a release. There's a liberty that comes. Captives are broken out of their bonds, and those that come in with all kinds of suicidal tendencies and destructive ways of living, mental oppression and emotional agony, fears and anxiety, panic and distress disorders. Oh, my friend, when the shout of victory begins to go forward, when the anointing of the Lord through the preaching of the word or the sound of the trumpet, you will. And when the sound of the trumpet, which is the type of preaching, takes place, then the people need to shout. And when the people respond and interact with that preaching of the word, then the walls are going to come down. It's not a silent activity, my friend. It's a shouting activity. In 2 Samuel 6:12, and it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. David understood this. David the praiser, David the giant killer, David the anointed of the Lord, who spoke in the name of the Lord and was fearless in battle. Oh, he knew in this setting there could only be one king, only one great victor, only one great conqueror, only one throne. David, every 6 paces, sacrificing to the Lord and then shouting to the Lord with a sound of the trumpet. Because, my friend, what we see in this text is that when God is on the move, there needs to be some noise. There needs to be a shout. There needs to be a sound. We need to let our generation know that we are a people of praise, not showing off our fleshly nature, not choreographed because we have some kind of carnal desire to be seen. We're not performers and entertainers. We are praisers and worshipers. And when the presence of the Lord begins to move, when that proverbial ark of the Lord, the presence of God in our generation, with His law and His love, with His grace and His glory, when it begins to move, there ought to be the sound of the trumpet. There ought to be great preaching. There ought to be a preaching with zeal and a preaching with passion and desire. And there ought to be a noise, a joyful noise that goes up and is seen and felt and heard, that causes the sinners to feel such a surge of the supernatural that they want to run to an altar and be set free. It causes the backslider to realize that he's drifted away and he's missing something that has been so powerful in his life, and he wants to return to it. He wants to be restored by the breath of God. He wants the wind of the Spirit, that Pentecostal rushing of redemption of the glory of God. He wants that to come back into his life. He's tired of the silent desert. He's tired of the withered places. He's tired of the desolate nights and the hopeless, wearisome routes that he has taken because of rebellious choices or sinful experimentation. He wants to get back to where the noise of the people of God know how to pray, where the fervency of the Spirit can be felt and changes can be made. How about the moment when Elijah told Ahab in 1 Kings 18 to get thee up, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. There's a sound of the unseen. There was a storm that was on its way, and yet the sky was still stainless. It was blue and clear, not a cloud to be seen. But Elijah heard something in the spirit that caused him to have a vision from the spiritual, what couldn't be seen in the physical. Because there is a sound with the supernatural. You hear it. It amplifies itself. Even if the world doesn't hear it, those that are attuned to it, those that are in the spirit of it, those that are sold out, those that are righteous and hunger for holiness, thirst for truth, long for the liberty that can only come from the presence of the Lord, these are the people who hear things that others cannot hear. And they're able to not predict, but prophesy. It's not a prognostication made off of statistical analysis. Oh no, my friend. It comes out of spiritual observation. It comes because, as Jesus said in John 5:32, he said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus heard something in the supernatural. As a man, as the Son of God, he heard something that caused him to act on it, to cause him to have faith to believe that he could lay his hands on the lepers, that he could speak to the demon-possessed, and changes were going to happen immediately. Miracles were going to take place in a moment of time. And so, my friend, if there ever was an hour when we need to be in tune with what's going on in the Spirit, we know there's many in this generation, they've sold out the inspiration of the Spirit for mere intellect, a knowledge, a journey of learning, and yet no power for liberty. They make and explain to you the scriptures, but they've never really been empowered by the very scriptures they're explaining, because you've got to have more than knowledge, my friend. You've got to have that power. You've got to know that there has been a sound of a rushing mighty wind that has blown into your life. And those that are hungry for it are going to hear it. Those that are seekers of God will know the sound, and they'll not settle for the muted religious atmosphere that have no strength, that are placid, anemic, weak, and non-threatening to a satanic generation and the god of this world that blinds the lost. Oh, my friend, if we're going to win these battles in the end time, we better make some noise. Prayerful noise, powerful noise, spirit-led noise, to know that the supernatural comes with a sound, in Jesus' name.
Feel it in the air. How does that explain? Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.